and into something else next Wednesday night. Galatians chapter 6. Get your Bibles open there. Now, this is a great chapter in the Bible. And it's got some great verses that you can preach on and teach on for hours. We'll start off with verse 1, and I'm going to hurry. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Now, I went over that verse a little bit last time. I hope that you got that and you understand that verse. And basically all that's saying is if somebody in your church family has messed up or they've failed or they've been overtaken with something, ye which are spiritual, go to that person and restore them in the spirit of meekness. And all that's, what that means is, if you're going to straighten somebody out, you ought to do it in the right spirit and in the right attitude. That we're not supposed to go, you sorry, good for nothing, backslid hypocrite, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. The Bible said not to go to somebody like that because the devil, you'll have to be next, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Now, I've noticed, I've been doing this a long time, since I was 19 years old, and you might notice something about me. I preach hard and I preach straight, but I'm very careful about condemning people for stuff because it will come back to you. What goes around, comes around. And you got to be real careful. I've heard people jump up and say, bless God, they ought to be ashamed. They ought to do that. And a few years later, they was facing that exact same crossroads and doing the same thing they had condemned that other person for. So you got to be real careful about stuff like that, people. You got to be real careful about your attitude. And one of the temptations that you'll have as a Christian is getting self-righteous. You know who Jesus condemned more than anybody else while he was here? Self-righteous people. And I don't think you're supposed to be a compromiser. And you ain't supposed to. Sin's always awful and terrible. But you better really guard against. When you really get right with God, that's a dangerous shape to be in. Because first thing you know, you start thinking you're better than other people. And you ain't. You ain't. You're not better than other people. And we'll get more of that in a minute. When you're over here rebuking somebody, the devil's over here saying, "You listen, you hear him? You hear him? Let me have him for a week or two. Let me get at him." And the Lord saying, "Oh no, he's stupid. He don't realize what he's saying right now." And you just keep it up, keep it up. And finally, the Lord will say, "All right, get him for a while." And you got to be real careful about that. And that word restore. Let's look at that word restore before we move on. That word restore is the same thing that a man does when he gets an old car, and you know, like somebody said, they got him a 57 Chevrolet or something, and I mean, they go through it and they restore everything on it, make it just like it was when it was brand new. And that's the way we're supposed to do people. When a person, I've seen a lot of youth groups, excuse me, and there'll be one person in the youth group that's a little wild and gets out in parties and stuff like that, and everybody else condemns them and everybody else. The Bible said we're to restore that person in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you be tempted. You better be careful. You got to be extremely careful about being thinking, bless God, I'm right. I've known people like that. I've known people that they thought it was their duty to straighten everybody else out. And next thing I know, the devil hit them with something big, threw them for a loop. Best thing you can do in your Christian life is stay humble. Amen. Stay humble. When somebody says something, what do you think about so-and-so? Think about so-and-so. Say, look, I'm a sinner saved by grace. And if it wasn't for the grace of God, I'd be in hell. I ain't got no right to say nothing about them. That's the best attitude to have. And God will protect you if you have that attitude. If you got this attitude of, let me tell you, you got what's that kind of attitude? Preachers get like that a lot of time. But anyway, that's what that verse is talking about. Now look at verse 2. That's a great verse of scripture. It said, bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We need to do that. We need to help another church member. I guess being the pastor, I hear it more than y'all do, but I hear it when somebody's got a burden. When there's people in our church right now having marital problems. There's people in our church right now that's got financial problems. There's people who ain't here tonight because they didn't have no gas money to get here. And we're to bear one another's burdens. We're not supposed to have this attitude of, as long as me and my family's all right, heck with everybody else. That's not the Christian attitude. If you got a burden, I'm supposed to be burdened over your burden. Now, we take our burdens to the Lord, and we cast our burden on the Lord and help each other bear. I'm supposed to take my burden, and I've got some burdens. I've got burdens tonight, a lot of them. My heart is heavy tonight. While I'm up here acting like everything's all right, my heart is heavy tonight, the burdens that I've got. The stuff that I've been through just today, my heart is breaking for a lot of things. But I'm supposed to take my burden and cast it on the Lord and help you bear your burden. Bear one another's burdens. We cast our burden on the Lord while we're helping. You know, you can't spell brothers without spelling others. And the Bible teaches us that we're supposed to care about each other and fulfill the law of Christ. Look at verse 3. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, got that? He deceiveth himself. According to that verse, if a man thinks himself to be something, he deceives himself. Lord, I've been to a lot of these big meetings where there'd be 2,000 or 3,000 people, and these preachers and singers walk around in there like I am the most important, like a celebrity. And the Bible said if a man thinks himself to be something, when he's nothing. They used to sing that little old song, you're nothing, you're nothing, you're nothing but a nothing. You know, that's that old cartoon. That's what we are, buddy. We're a big zero. Without the Lord, we are nothing. People are full of pride, full of ego, full of ourself. I know singing groups that go in a church and the service changed directions and the preacher didn't call on them to sing and they got mad as fire. And the reason I know that, because it sort of happened to me one time. We took a choir one time, about 80 people to 50 miles to sing, and the service went another direction, and the preacher didn't call on us to sing. And I got mad. And I said, all this way we've come and spent all this gas money and buses and let homework go and everything, you didn't go, you ought to be. The Lord said, I'm giving you just what you need, Danny Castle. Nothing. You don't need nothing. You don't deserve nothing. And we ought to have that attitude. Our attitude ought to be, preacher, if you need me, praise God. I'll be right there. If you don't, I'll sit right here and shout and say amen. That's a hard attitude to keep. And it's real hard for preachers. I know I had preachers, you wouldn't believe this. Y'all wouldn't believe this, but I've actually had preachers say things that got back to me where I'd say, why don't you come on Thursday morning, something in the morning, to the camp meeting and preach? And they sent back to me and said, I ain't coming. I'm not a morning preacher. Because the crowds ain't as big of the morning. And I wanted to send them back a message and said, you ain't a night preacher, buddy. Amen? Am I right? Man ain't willing to preach to a little crowd, ain't got no business preaching to no big crowd. That's why I told them boys about preaching at junior church and preaching and stuff like that. If you ain't willing to preach in junior church, you don't need to preach at a big convention. It's just as important, maybe more, than a big Christian, bunch of Christians where everybody big pat each other on the back Christian celebrity meeting. I'm telling you, brother, the Bible said if a man thinks himself to be something when he's nothing. You think people don't think they're something nowadays? Not. Here comes, Miley Cyrus, Billy Ray Cyrus, LeBron James. They walk around like, let me tell you something, buddy. LeBron James, any of them guys, the Lord can take a kidney stone the size of a grain of sand and they'll be laying in the bed crying for mama. That shows how tough you are. The size of a grain of... Listen, I have a kidney stone size. Old Bobby Dobson, y'all know how big and tough Big Bobby is. Son, he's a man. He's a man's man. And Bobby had a kidney stone. He told me, he said, Brother Danny, he said, I was down on my hands and knees crying like a kid. So you're really not as tough and great as you think you are. The Lord can take a kidney stone the size of a grain of sand and have you crying. I'm telling you, you better pray you don't never get one. First time I felt one, I woke up in the middle of the night and it felt like somebody hit me with a baseball bat right there. I'm telling you, I have you climbing the walls, buddy. And the Lord, just a grain of sand. What would the Lord do if he really wanted to hurt you? I heard about this guy up in Tennessee. He had a hair growing out of his nose. That's where you know you're getting old. You have a lot of hair coming out of your nose. And you need to learn how to get rid of them things. They make them little things you're supposed to. You know, you'll be looking like a walrus here pretty soon if you ain't careful, some of you fellas. But he pulled his hair out of his nose and it got infected and went to his brain. 3 days, he's dead. Hair out of his nose. I knew of a guy who went out and cussed one night and he's in a lightning storm and he cussed and threw his fist and said, "I dare you strike me dead, God." And the Lord didn't do nothing. There's a fool just left him alone. And he's gathering some sticks and a spider came out and bit him on the hand and he died. You ain't nothing. It don't take the Lord no effort to bump you off, brother. It ain't a big deal. A little bitty germ the size. I mean, old Jeremy, big tough Jeremy, our deacon that sits right there, like to die over a little bitty germ so little you can't even see it. So don't think you're something, people. You ain't. The Bible said you are nothing. You are nothing. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And the biggest mistake that we make out there in the world is they teach kids the very opposite. You can do anything you want to. That ain't true. You can do God's will through God's help. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. By God's grace, I can do whatever he wants me to do. But I can't do anything I want to do. Not without the Lord. You can't do nothing without him. So if a man thinks himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. Be real careful about starting to think you're something. What the worst enemies you've got is people that brag on you all the time. I mean, there's nothing wrong paying somebody a compliment, but flattery, brother, will ruin people. Bible said he that flattereth his neighbor spreads a net for his feet. And I used to have this guy, he'd write me letters and he'd say, "You're the next Billy Graham, you're the greatest preacher I've ever heard." I like to hear that. That's a bunch of bull because it ain't true. And that's the last thing you need to be telling. The Lord let me know right quick that wasn't true. Amen? And he will you too. Thank God for it. Shut up. It ain't that bad. These people over here in Lenore think they're so better than everybody else. That's why they sit over there. In the rich section. Look at verse 4. But let every man prove his own work. Then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not unto God. That means you're supposed to not compare your work with somebody else's. You're not supposed to compare yourself with somebody else. You're supposed to compare yourself with the Word of God. Prove your own self with the Word of God. Live your life right. Compare yourself to Jesus if you want to compare yourself to somebody. People are notorious for saying, "Well, I tell you what, preacher, I ain't right with God, but I ain't like so-and-so." You know, you can always find somebody sorrier than you are to make yourself look good. But the Bible said not to do that. I mean, that's easy to do, Lord. It ain't hard to find somebody worse than you are. Let's remember that, okay? Now, look at verse number, let's move it on. Let's go fast here. Verse 5, "For every man shall bear his own burden." That seems to be the opposite of verse 2, but that's true. We bear our own burden and we bear each other's burdens. That's what that means. "Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things." Communicate means to in word and in stuff. Like somebody teaches you the word of God, buy them a hamburger. Communicate in all good things. Take care of them. Tell them you appreciate them. Do something nice for them. Communicate to them. Verse 7. Here we go. Now let's hit verse 7 and stay there a minute. There's probably been 100,000 sermons preached on verse 7. If there's 100, 200 evangelists in the United States, all of them preach on verse 7 and 8. Be not deceived. Some of the most strong scripture in the New Testament. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now, what that means is, don't kid yourself. Whatever you sow, you'll reap. You've heard me preach it. You've heard other preachers preach it. That's a scary scripture. Whatever you sow, that shall you also reap. You can't get away from it. You can't ignore it. Basically, that says you can't do wrong and get by, and it says you can't do right and get by. If you do wrong, it'll come back to you. If you do right, it'll come back to you. If you dig your garden up and you go down there and you plant corn, there's a little corn, you sowed corn. You cover it up, Lord lets it rain, guess what's coming up? Corn. You can't say, well, I believed with all my heart it was going to be tomatoes. You don't matter what you believe. Whatever you sowed, that's what you're going to reap. And people say, well, I went to church every now and then. I don't know why my life's a mess. I do, because you reap what you sow. You sow a bunch of junk, you're going to reap a bunch of junk. Whatever you sow, that shall you also reap. I always think about this story, this old drunk up in Burnsville, Bakersville, up in there by Spruce Pine. It's years ago, they said this man, excuse me, was drunk. And he was drunk and he came down the road and there was a girl, young girl I think was, 19 or 20 years old. He ran over and killed her. And they got him for manslaughter and he went to prison and spent about 10 years in prison. And when that man got out, he didn't have no driver's license, and he was walking, and they said almost in that exact same spot, he was drunk one night and a car come and hit him and killed him. Whatever you sow, that will you reap. That's a scary thought. Now you say, Lordy mercy, Brother Danny, does that mean all that bad stuff I did when I was 17, 18, I'm saved now, does that mean I'm still going to reap it? Well, The Lord will help you and He'll have mercy on you, give you grace. But yeah, it does. I mean, it still comes up in your garden. Somehow or another. If I went out here and I you've heard me say it, and I got drunk and I got in a fight with a guy and he sliced me right there and I had to have surgery and my hand took off, I can come and get forgiveness, but I'll be like that the rest of my life. The Lord will forgive me, but I've got to reap it. Amen? And that's why we ought to tell these kids. Some people got the idea, well, you can just go out and do anything you want to and run nice forgiveness and it don't matter. It does matter. The book, it's got nothing to do with forgiveness. God will forgive you, but you still, whatever you put in your garden still comes up. You can go out there and sow grass seed all over your yard and then say, Lord, forgive me. It'll still come up. It'll still come up. Now, God will go easy on you and God will help you. And God will help you to, you sow good things and you'll reap good things. As a matter of fact, we major probably too much on the bad side of this verse and not enough on the good side of this verse. This verse also says, whatever good you do, you'll reap. See that, you say, we always preach on that. He that soweth to the flesh shall reap corruption. But thank God it also says, if you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap life everlasting. And everything good you do will come back to you. I've got friends of mine here tonight. Y'all know Smokey Joe over here. And I got Brother Enby Earl. Most of y'all don't remember Brother Enby. Raise your hand there, Brother Enby. He's a preacher friend of mine, been a friend of mine for years and years and years from Kentucky. And they're staying with me tonight, and he's going on down the country. And Smokey Joe's staying with me for a few days. I need grocery money bad. I'm telling you what, man. I'm telling you. That boy can, Lord have mercy. Anyway, I'm just used to one person eating at my house. I'm just kidding. We're going to have a hamburger tonight. Little hamburger. Anyway, what was I saying? I was going to tell something about them guys. About what? Nobody was listening. Oh, yeah. He was talking about my girls. He was talking about my girls. And they're all three here tonight somewhere back yonder with the kids working with them. And he said, is your girls with you? I said, yep. My girls are in church, and their husbands come to church, and their kids come to church. And you know what? That's that verse right there. All their life, I sowed them church, and they're still here tonight. So that's the good side of that verse. Now, I reap some of my bad stuff, but thank God we get to reap the good stuff too. So sow good stuff in your garden, people. Do good. We're going to get to that where it says, as you have opportunity, do good to all men. Do some good stuff. Give out tracts, witness. Listen, I've witnessed everywhere from here to California. I'm putting seeds out there. I'm going to reap that one these days. And how? One time, I had this boy with me, just got saved, and I was over at a Tasty Freeze over here, over yonder in Morgan, and a guy came up. While we were standing there, this guy came up, and he said, are you a preacher? I said, yep. And he said, you remember me? I said, nope, don't think so. He said, one night, you and somebody else come down the road, and you was in a little Volkswagen, and it was pouring rain, and I was hitchhiking, and y'all stopped and picked me up, and you witnessed to me. And he said, I just want you to know I went to church that Sunday and I got saved. Yep. And I about shouted all over the place. And I thought, you know what? You get to reap it. You get to reap. And we shouldn't be afraid of that verse. We do reap the bad stuff, but sow some good stuff, man. Sing a song. Give an offering. Yep. If you got money, slip a little money to these bus workers here and there, just under the table. Here's your little gas money. You know, don't even let nobody know it. Do something like that and don't even tell nobody. And God will look down and say, sow it, reap it, reap it, reap it. Sometimes Todd will do something like that for our church, real good, helping with the buses and stuff like that. And every time he does, I say, bless him, Lord, bless him, Lord. And the Lord does bless him financially. It's true in everything. It's true in everything. I don't mean to sound like a TV preacher, but it is scriptural. Sow a seed, faith offering. It don't say that, but I tell you one thing, brother. You give sincerely from your heart, not trying to get something, but sincerely to your church, to a missionary. We support missionaries here at our church. Our bus ministry, our radio ministry, and our bus ministry is all mission work. I preach on radio station down there in Moxville. Lord, that's 100 miles from here almost. And it don't do us no good. I mean, we can't even hear it. But it's a mission. And we're sowing, and we'll reap it. We'll reap it. I got a check, two checks in the mail yesterday, $1,400. One was $1,000, the other was $400. And you know what the guy said? He said, praise God for the good news. You heard about the youth rally? This is to help out with expenses from South Carolina. Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that a blessing? You know what? We worked our fool heads off on that youth rally. And that's just the Lord saying, you sow good, you reap good. So don't ever think this verse is just talking about the bad. As a matter of fact, look at verse 9. Verse 9, the context is good more than it is bad. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So the context is actually more about the good stuff we sow more than the bad. Don't ever forget the bad, though. I mean, you go out here and do something stupid, you'll reap it. But also, you serve God. Every time you go to church, every time you pray, every time you read your Bible, the Lord's up there putting it down. He's up there putting it down. That's like sowing seeds in your garden, and He'll bless you. I used to pray when I'd travel all the time, and I'd leave my girls at home. I told you, Carissa had a gun under her pillow for a long time. Somebody told her, if she kept the Bible under her pillow, she wouldn't have bad dreams. And she kept the Bible under her pillow, and then she started keeping a pistol under her pillow. So the Bible kept the devil away, and the pistol was for the crooks and criminals. And I always used to say, Lord, take care of my girls. Lord, take care of my girls. Lord, take care of my girls. And there ain't a doubt in my mind that God took care of them, because I was out here sowing the seed. There ain't one doubt in my mind that's how it happened. Not one doubt. So, all right, now look at verse 10. Look at verse 10. Here's a great verse. As you have their opportunity. That's this Saturday at 9:30 when we go visit. That's you're on free time. That's when you're... As we have opportunity, that's at work. Let us do good unto all men, especially unto them which who are the household of faith. Christian people. Let us... As you got an opportunity... You got an opportunity? Do good. We got an opportunity. Like our big day coming up, June 8th. That's an opportunity. That's an opportunity. Look, that thing I did at the youth rally, that video, And we had 9 people saved down there at Chris Little's. They had about, Lord, I don't know how many got saved at Bright Light. This is an opportunity. You go out and get people that's not saved, bring them in as we have opportunity. I'm going to show that video. We're praying that souls will be saved. That's what that's talking about. As we have an opportunity. I look at Saturday morning like it's an opportunity. Knock on somebody's door. You might get cussed out, but the Lord bless you for that. They might say, I ain't never coming to that church, but the Lord will still bless you for it. You can't lose. They say that Jehovah Witnesses have to make like, I don't know, what, 200 visits or something for them? You know that? You ever heard that statistic? They have to go like 200 homes before they get one. And I doubt it's probably higher than that. I'd say it's probably higher than that. It'd be easier for us to get a convert than it would be a Jehovah's Witness. Because they're considered a cult by the whole country. But you know why they get them? They keep going, keep going. They take advantage of their opportunity. You take a salesman, a vacuum cleaner salesman. They train them and they say, you have to make 50 calls to make one sale. And I know people that went on visitation one time. I knew a lady one time. She's the most spiritual woman in the church. She was so spiritual that she wouldn't even trust the nursery workers with her precious baby. She was so spiritual, she thought, I'm never trusting them with my... They're just as good a mama as she was. And she took her baby and put it in her Sunday school class right beside her. Because she was so spiritual, she didn't trust no other woman with her. And she went on visitation one time, and somebody said something about her, slammed the door or something. She said, I'm never going again. Now, that is a sign of immaturity, and you're not quite as spiritual as you try to think you are. As we have opportunity. Lord, the Bible said if somebody casts you out, your name out of the evil, jump, shout, and jump up and down for joy. For great is your reward in heaven. If you ain't never been cussed out for the Lord, you ain't never lived, buddy. Amen? I mean, I've been cussed out a few times. Not many times for the Lord. Usually you get cussed out if something stupid you do. Ain't? What was that over here comment? Dog bit. Dog bit, that's right. Now, I've never been dog bit out visiting, have y'all? Okay. Hey, I watch them dogs, man. Yeah, man. I come there and I roll down the window. And if they come up to the window, I roll it down about that part and stick my finger out their nose. If they wag their tail, then I roll it on down. If they don't wag their tail, I just, feel lead to go somewhere else. Them dogs. Who was it got dog bit? Your boy, one of your boys. Tyler? And you let him bite your son.
I
didn't
have nothing to hit it with.
That's right. Dog on the loose, brother. It's every man for himself. If you ever... Listen, if you get dog bit for the Lord, you're going to get a reward in heaven, buddy. You get rabies here and a crown up there. Amen. You want rabies here, crown and glory. I believe that. I believe if you get dog bit for the Lord, buddy, he's going to bless you. I don't want to get dog bit, man. I can't stand that. I about got shot. Had old Danny Tucker out visiting with me one day. And we got a guy come around the house with a gun pointing us just like that. And I just fell down on the ground like that. And Danny was behind me. He said, you was going to let him shoot me. I said, well, I wasn't going to let him shoot me. It's every man for himself. And the guy was just joking. He said, I was just messing with you, preacher. I said, don't do that, please. Man, I hit the ground like that. I've always wondered what I'd do if they come in here and start, something like that. Now, We got some guys in here that's ready for something like that. You think we're nice, but we got some rednecks in here that could take care of somebody. I don't believe they'd get too much done in here. But I always thought, what would I do if a man come in here, start shooting with a gun? I guess just fall down. I don't know. What would you do? Grab your kids and run, something. But whatever you suffer for the Lord, he'll bless you for it. That's going to start happening more and more. Let's hurry up right quick. I'm going to finish this. Verse 11, you see how large a letter I've written unto you? There's a big debate over that scripture. All the new Bibles change out because they said Galatians ain't a large letter. And then you got other people that said Paul had bad eyesight, so he wrote big old letters like that and all kinds of things. I just think since he wrote it, he was considering Galatians a pretty lengthy letter. That's my opinion. But and I don't think it means letters like the new Bible say. It means letter, epistle. Verse 12, as many as desire, and he's talking about these people, these Judaizers, to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. Hold it right there. And then we got a great verse. Now what he's talking about, these people in Galatia, they were teaching you had to keep the law to be justified. And he said, the only reason they're doing that is so they can glory in your flesh. Don't let them do that. We went through all that in them first couple of chapters. You are not justified by circumcision, by the works of the law, or anything else you do. Here's what you're justified by. Verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Now, what does that mean? That means we don't have no right to glory in nothing that we've done, only what Christ done for us on the cross. And that business about the world being crucified to us and us to the world, it's sort of like this. We are crucified with Christ. Jesus was crucified in the past. We are, present tense, crucified with Him. The world is crucified to the believer. And the believer is crucified to the world. What that means is this world is ruined for us. We can find no peace, no satisfaction, nothing in this world. We're dead to this world. And it's dead to us. So the world is crucified to us and us to the world. For in Christ Jesus, 15, neither circumcision availeth anything physically or uncircumcision, but a new creature. He said, it don't matter if this man's circumcised or not. It ain't going to make you a sinner. It ain't going to make you a saint. A new creature is what makes you right with God. Verse 16. As many walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy. Hallelujah. Here's an interesting phrase. And upon the Israel of God. What does that mean? The Israel of God. The best I can figure out, the Israel of God is saved Jews in Galatia that were teaching salvation by grace apart from circumcision. And Paul said, peace be on you guys for teaching this right. The Israel of God. I don't know if you got a better explanation for that. I've looked at it and I've studied it and I've checked some commentators, and that's what that's talking about. Saved Jews who are saved in the church, teaching it right. Now look at verse 17. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Paul wasn't just talk. He wasn't just all talk. He could say, look at there. Look at there. Look at there. Look at there. He had been beat with whips. And he'd say, you think I ain't standing for Jesus and I don't love the Lord? I got the marks to prove it. That's right. 39 stripes. Stoned. Left for dead. A night and a day in the deep. That old boy stayed out in the water all night and all day, sinking in the water. Drowning. And so he was stoned. He was beat with rods. The Bible said, beat with rods. Man, that would hurt. Somebody take a bunch of rods and beat you. Put in prison. Nobody trouble me. He said, you just leave me alone. I bear in my body the marks of Jesus. I prove that I've stood for Him. My testimony is I stood for Jesus Christ. All right? Anybody got a comment? I went real fast there so we can finish that up. Any comment right quick and we'll pray. Now, if you ain't never been beat for the Lord, don't whine around about, well, I went to work, Brother Danny, and they said something bad about you and me going to Shining Light, and that just hurt my feelings. You ain't got nothing to whine about, buddy. We ain't never been beat. You ever been beat for Jesus? You ever had stripes put on you? No. No. So we ain't got nothing to whine about. Anybody? Right quick. All right, let's bow our head for a word of prayer. Bow our head for prayer. Miss Desi, come to the pen. I don't know what hit you tonight, but I guarantee you something I talked about tonight hit you and convicted you. And I want to ask you a question tonight. While every head bowed and every eyes closed, where do you stand with the Lord tonight? Are you right with Him? She's playing softly. God's speaking to hearts. We're just going to take a minute here and pray. I want you to ask the Lord, Lord, help me to sow good things in my garden of my life. Help me, dear Lord, to live right. Help me to do right. Dear God, I pray right now. You can come to the altar and pray. You can stay right there at your seat and pray right now. I just get out of my seat.